Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. This is the episode for December 1st, 2008, and on this episode we have an interview with Damien Arnold, the producer of the farce Don't Dress for Dinner. Also, we have Chicago's theater news for you, so get ready and let's talk theater.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our guest this week is the producer of one of the hot shows in Chicago. He is Damien Arnold, and the show is Don't Dress for Dinner, which is a hilarious show that is now running at the Royal George Theater. Hello, Damien.
Hello.
Great. Tell us about Don't Dress for Dinner.
Okay, well, thanks for having me, first of all. Well, it's a farce with six characters and one set, and it's one of the funniest plays I've ever seen. In my humble opinion, I think it's up there in the top of plays, I think, written since the 1920s of comedies. It's very, very funny.
I agree with you.
London. Thanks. It ran in London for 7 years, from 91 to 97, and did very well there. And it's just a very funny play.
So tell us a little about the plot, what the premise is, for those people who aren't familiar with farce.
Okay, well, you mean about farce in general or this play in particular?
Well, because this is a classic farce, so I guess you could kind of blend the two in.
Yes,
because it has the mistaken identities and some of the crazy plot twists and then the physicality and the timing of the word jokes and so forth.
Exactly, you've summed it up very well there yourself.
Oh, thank you.
Those are most of the elements of your classic farce, and all of them are very much present in this play, Don't Dress for Dinner. I don't want to give too much away and ruin it.
No, that's right. That's right. You can't give too much.
No. But I'll tell you a little bit. It's about a man, Bernard, or as you say here, Bernard, and his wife, Jacqueline. And he's planned a naughty weekend with his mistress, who he's invited to stay. He thinks that his wife is going away for the weekend to stay with her mother, who's ill. He's invited as an alibi his best friend, who was also the best man at their wedding, Robert, to stay for the weekend, just in case any questions are raised. He can say, "Well, Robert was here. You know, nothing happened." So, but it all slightly goes wrong rather quickly because the wife, Jacqueline, decides not to leave, I think I'll leave the reason for that out because
okay.
I don't want to ruin it.
I agree.
So, but basically, what happens is that the best friend, Robert, the husband, Bernard, the wife, Jacqueline, the girlfriend, Suzanne, and the cook, Suzette, all end up in the house for the day, for the weekend. There are lots of twists and turns, and people have to pretend to be other people, and there's mistaken identities and some very funny conversations where one person thinks the other person's somebody else, and then somebody turns up at the end and really sort of caps it all off. I'm being very vague. I apologize, but I don't want to ruin it for anyone.
No, I agree. And most of I was reading through the reviews that the show's gotten here in Chicago, and just about everybody's given it a highly recommended, and nobody's really given away too much.
Yes, no, I'm very happy, and both for the very, very happy and for the good reviews, and also thanks a lot to all of them for not giving away the story. Yes, very grateful for that.
Yeah, and but even if you did know the story, it's the kind of show you could come back and see it a second time because there's just so much going on.
Sorry to interrupt, but I've heard people tell me that they want to come back because there's so much laughing that they miss a few lines here and there.
And, you know, your timing couldn't have been better for this because, you know, there's some great Christmas shows, but you know, some people have gone, you can only see Christmas Carol so many times in that. And sometimes with this crazy world we're living in now, you just want an evening to just get away and laugh.
Well, that's the whole point of doing this, and that's why I hope to continue to do this as long as I'm able in Chicago, because, as you say, you know, we're in tricky times at the moment. So many terrible things are happening all over the place, and the economy's taken an awful downturn. It's all rather frightening, and it's a nice little escape for an hour and 45 minutes to come and have a very, very good belly laugh. I think that's very important. You know, it's wonderful to go and see some very serious plays, of course. But I've always thought that making people laugh is equally important, and possibly a little bit harder as well. If I may be bold.
I agree. I think comedy is one of the hardest things to do, and a lot of actors have told me that. See, I thought it was easy, but when you think about the timing that's involved.
Yes.
It takes quite a bit of skill. All right, let me ask you a question now. The play is an adaptation of Mark Camilleri's play. Is when you say adaptation, does that mean you sort of Americanized it or adapted it for American audiences?
Well, that's a good question. Well, Robin Horden translated it first, and then he, I believe, I'm not positive about that, but he certainly adapted it for the London stage. And so when you read the original script that was performed in London, there are some very English things in it. I mean, the husband and wife, Bernard and Jacqueline, really, they are played as English in the play, but very well, I might say, by the two actors. But we did make two of the parts American, Jeffrey Donovan's part and Jamie Morgan's part as the model. And Jeffrey Donovan plays Robert, the best friend. And I think that helps sort of, I mean, I'd love to in the future do some straight English plays, and I'm curious to see what would happen. And I think if they're very, very funny, it doesn't really matter. However,
I agree.
In this instance, thank you. In this instance, though, it certainly helped. Just for my first time out in Chicago, I think it's a nice little thing to have a couple of American characters in the play, so that just in case people can relate very, very easily to Jeffrey Donovan and Jamie Morgan.
Well, you just brought something up. I was so impressed that you have a couple of major film and television stars, you know, who are used to making the gigantic bucks, to dedicate themselves to work hard to do, you know, seven or eight performances that are very physical and that take a lot of work. How did you get a couple of stars like that? And tell us, Jeffrey Donovan, and tell us who your big stars are.
Well, they're all big stars. Okay. I don't want to leave
That's
anyone
true. That's true.
No, but I suppose, Jeffrey Donovan, of course, and there's Patricia Callender, and there's Jamie Morgan, and then there's Mark Haralick and Spencer Caden, and Chris Sullivan, who's from Chicago.
Right.
Spencer and Mark are very well known in New York. They're wonderful. Jamie's from New York. She's been on TV rather a lot. Patricia Callender, I think people know rather well, and, of course, Jeffrey. And, I must say the main reason, I think, is that they're really wonderful people, and they want to, you know, they've got these wonderful careers in television and film, but I think they very much enjoy, I think they all come from a stage background originally, you see, and
that's true.
For them, I think it's a great pleasure for them to be back on the stage and to do theatre. It's a very different thing from acting in film, and you get an immediate response, and it's a very funny play to be in.
Well, I've talked to a lot of the dedicated actors love the stage, and they miss it even if they've done film. I mean, we have William Peterson in town, and John Mahoney's done quite a bit of local theatre even after they've been big stars on television. But you're to be congratulated for putting this cast together, because an awful lot of this show is the cast. I mean, the writing is terrific, and John Tillinger is a legendary director. But if you don't have the players, the comedy just doesn't work.
Yes. No, I'm very grateful to every single one of them, and I think they're having fun, and that's evident when you watch them. In fact, during rehearsal there was rather a lot of giggling. It's one of those plays. Actually, I'll tell you a funny brief story.
Sure.
When I saw it in London with a couple of English actors called John Quayle and Simon Cadell, I saw it several times because I thought it was the funniest thing ever. I went one performance, and this is highly unusual, but John Quayle, who's a very accomplished farceur, a very well-known actor in England, completely got the giggles in the middle of a Saturday night performance.
Oh, he lost it. Huh?
Oh, he completely lost it. And he turned to the audience and said, "I'm frightfully sorry." And then he went back and continued. So, back to your original question to sort of finish it off. I think I'm very fortunate to have all these wonderful actors, and I think they do it because they enjoy it. It's quite simple, I think. Yeah, they do it for love.
But we've all seen when some of these big stars take gigs that maybe their agents want them to do or whatever, and they kind of sleepwalk through it. I've seen several of those, and I won't name the names, but to see the dedication that it takes to do this, because folks, this show is very physically demanding of the actors. They must be exhausted by the end of the week.
Well, I had the privilege once of meeting a very famous farce actor in London called Henry McGee, who perhaps Americans may have seen on the Benny Hill show. I met him once at the Garrick Club in London, and I said, I'm a big fan of yours, and I've seen you in so many farces. And all he said was, he just turned to me and said, yes, sweaty work, he said. and it is sweaty work, because they're running around and jumping around and chasing each other, and it's very... It's a good exercise, I'd say.
Yeah, and I think that comes off. I think in a subtle way that adds to the comedy is people are seeing these big-time talents going up there and just being true to the material. And if it takes a pratfall, or it takes getting slapped in the head or knocked down, or you got to crawl across the couch or whatever it takes, they just do it.
Oh, they do, and that's the wonderful thing, and that's what you have to do to act in a farce, and it's what they all do brilliantly. In fact, they go above and beyond this cast. What I was going to say was, you have to completely commit to the form, otherwise it just looks false. And not only that, but these actors also, in their rehearsals, which I left them alone, I didn't want to, I wanted to leave them alone. I'm so happy because they really approached it in the beginning, and it's carries through. It's very truthful. They all give very truthful performances, and then they completely commit to the style. And you have to do that, because if you don't, it just looks false. And they really do all jump in with both feet and all their hands and everything. So it comes across.
How true that is. And of course, the first few minutes of the show, you have to buy the characters and you have to like them, and you you have to kind of cheer for them, because that really gives it an edge.
Yes, you can't, if you sense that somebody's absolutely, they all do a fantastic job. It's brilliant. There's nothing, I just can't fault them. I just can't. And I'm a very I'm very critical, and so is Mr. Tillinger.
Yeah.
With very high standards, and we're so privileged to have him. I mean, he's a all of the things he came up with, and all of the things the cast came up with, they came up together. It's a collaborative thing. So, I'm very honored to have all the actors and Mr. Tillinger and all the crew as well. Everyone involved has worked extremely hard.
Well, one of the things that impressed me was it started out at such a high level of comedy, and I'm saying, wow, this is terrific. We're liking the characters we're carrying, and I kept thinking to myself, where do they go from here? And they did. They just kept going and going, and it was amazing the levels that they reached. To get the comedy, I mean, it got wilder and zanier and crazier and funnier as it went along.
Well, that's the thing about farce. That's the wonderful thing about farce, is that it just goes up and up and up and up, and you just can't believe it. And that's why you laugh so hard. You just cannot believe what's going on. But as I said before, in order to reach that level, you must ground it all in truth, and that's what these actors do so well.
Absolutely. And if people don't know what they mean, exactly what you mean by truth, when you see this thing, you believe that you're in that situation. I mean, it is you're not suspending your disbelief. You're believing these people.
No, and I think it's something that everyone can relate to as well, because, I mean, perhaps not the specifics, but certainly the situations and the things that some of the characters say without meaning to say them before, and they suddenly realize they've said something awful, and that, yeah, it's... Yeah, it's very funny.
Yeah, it's a very clever piece. Now, let me just throw a little commercial in for it. Don't Dress for Dinner is now playing at the Royal George Theater, and you play what? You go Tuesday through Sunday?
That's correct, okay. Yes. It's a week.
At 7:30, Tuesday through Thursday, and then you have a Wednesday matinee, and Friday you're at 8, and Saturday you have 4:30 and 8, and Sunday at 2 and 5. Wow.
That's correct, yes.
They must be tired by Sunday night.
Yes, they need the day off.
Yeah.
They need the day off.
But and folks, this show is, like I said, it's any time of the year, it's great to see a farce, and we need the laugh. But I think around these times and in the holidays, you will see a first-class comedy, and I can't be impressed enough about that. And Damien, you're to be congratulated for putting this together. I mean, you got a great script, you got world-class actors, and you got a legendary director. That's not bad.
It's very kind of you to say so. I'm very, very fortunate, and I'm very happy that this wonderful play is being done the way it can be done. It's being done so well by everyone, and that makes me happy, because I want to make you don't want to do somebody else's play and do a poor job. And everyone's doing the opposite of that. They're doing an amazing job, and so I'm very honoured that they're all doing it. And as I said, I really hope that we can continue to make people laugh for a long time, and hopefully, do things in the future.
Well, now that brings me to my next point. In the notes, this is your company now, the British Stage Company. And tell us about that. You're now a Chicago-based company. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So we have a British stage company here in Chicago. Well, you got to tell us what your vision is for this.
Well, it's to. I mean, I was reaching in my briefcase here for the. I wrote a little thing in the program. That's
okay.
Really my mission. It's only a sentence, but it really is my mission statement. Especially for now, but I think on and on. I wrote, in these challenging times, it is essential that we endeavor to keep smiles on our faces. One way to achieve this is with a vigorous laugh. It is our resolute intention to do all that we can to assist as many people as possible in this invaluable enterprise. This is a mission with which we will steadfastly continue. So that sums it all up, really.
Wow. And you're an equity-based company, because I see in the credits here they're all equity. You give it all union people just about in every phase of the production.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Of course.
Well, that's to be commended, because a lot of people go to storefront theater, and I love it. And you've done some storefront theater, and you know what that's about. And that's a good incubator. But there's a certain point at which we want to see the top people. At their craft.
And yes, sorry, go ahead.
And you are to be congratulated for that, because in this cost-cutting age, so many productions I see, they'll have one or two equity actors, and they'll have, stage manager and so forth, and it shows, that sometimes there's a few things lacking.
Yes, well, speaking of stage managers, we have an amazing stage manager, Lucia Lombardi, and amazing general manager Karen Leahy, and company manager Jill Schwartzmiller, and production manager Matt Marsden. I mean, everyone at the Royal George has been fantastic, and Margaret Cotter, the owner, has been incredibly helpful. And that's it. It's very kind of you to point it out. But that's my goal, is to do these sorts of plays in Chicago, as well as they can possibly be done. And if I can, I've raised the bar, I believe, rather high, and I don't want to ever lower it.
Well, that's good. That's good because so many people, like I said, they do these cost cuttings, and it shows in the production. You know, they nickel and dime it. I mean, this, you know, it's a speculative venture to begin with when you're tackling something like this. So I appreciate the fact that you're doing it first class. Now tell us what how the house has been. Are people enjoying the show?
They are. I see. Nobody knows, which is wonderful. Nobody knows what I look like, so I can put my coat on and stand outside. And I'm afraid my secret is I listen to what people are saying in the middle.
That's good.
So no. It's music to my ears. They say lines that some of the characters say. They repeat the lines, and they talk about bits that they thought were funny, and then they come up to me. If you know, I've had some friends, of course, come, and they say some people I've met in Chicago over the last couple of years, and they say, "Oh, we're going to tell our friends," and everyone has a good time, and sometimes also I have to say I sit in the back row and I watch the audience part of the time, and it gives me great cheer to see everyone having a really, really heavy laugh.
Yeah, are you getting good houses? Is the show selling?
Yes, we're very lucky. Yes, absolutely, yes. I think people are going and telling their friends how funny it is.
Well, the word of mouth is very, very important. But I mean,
yes.
I mean, the reviewers. I'm just looking here. Chris Jones, highly recommended. Sun Times. Katie Weiss, Chris of the Tribune, highly recommended. Hetty Weiss, highly recommended. Time Out, recommended. Al Breslov and myself, highly recommended. Jost, everybody that's reviewed it so far is giving it a raves.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, you know, I must say, you know, as well that. It really is an incredibly funny play, and I'm no great expert, but I have been interested in all of this sort of wonderful comedy for such a long time, and I'd put this play very, very high up.
I do too, because at first I thought it would be just kind of like some of the Ray Cooney stuff, which is funny, but you know it's simpler. But this thing just keeps going on, and there's more twists that it just. When you think it's over, then there's another thing happens, and it just keeps
Absolutely.
Going on. Yeah, it and even by the way, we won't give it away. But even if we did, it would take longer than this whole interview just to explain what's going on. But but you'll catch it. There's nothing. This is not brain surgery. It's comedy. It's just so well done.
It's the wonderful thing is it's so simple. I mean, there's nothing complicated about it, apart from trying to explain it.
Yeah, that's true. your show's also been Jeff recommended.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. Oh, yes.
No.
It's been Jeff recommended, which means you are eligible. Now, the entire Jeff committee will come out. You know, they send five judges and a couple of technical people. They have like seven judges on opening night, and they evaluate whether or not there's you know, one or more elements that are, you know, that are so outstanding that they're recommending it to the rest of the committee, who evaluates it for, you know, for possible nominations or even some awards, which it's a major step, and not every show gets Jeff recommended.
Oh, well, that's very good news. That's wonderful. Thanks for telling me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't let you know that. But a lot of people go by that because they realize that you know not every show is recommended, so it's kind of a way that'll help you get audiences, because there's people that understand that, you know, they usually get it right, and quite frankly, first time out productions, it's kind of tough to get Jeff recommended, but you did.
So. Oh, well, that's wonderful news. It's a great privilege. Thank you for the Jeff people. Then thank you.
Well, and I have a feeling it's the kind of play that, you know, in this town, if you get nominated, it's like winning. You know, you get down with the 100-some plays that are done every year to be picked as one or two of the, you know, the ones that are going to be eligible for awards. That's pretty cool. But tell us what you have coming up now. What your plans are for the British Stage Company.
Well, my plan is to stay in Chicago. to continue to produce very, very funny plays here in Chicago. And I have got a list. In fact, I have many, many, many plays at home.
Okay.
They're all falling off my bookshelves. But I have on my mantelpiece, I have about 20 that I'm looking. In fact, in my briefcase here, I have 4 that I'm rereading at the moment. Excuse me. So, and I obviously mustn't say what they are.
No, not until you make the deal and you're ready to, you know, start rolling out on them.
Oh, yes. No. I can't talk about that.
I don't think there's another theater company in Chicago on equity level or on any level that does exclusively comedies.
Well, that's what I'd like to do. And I really consider the quality first and foremost. So it's my intention and I have got in the, you know, listen, this is all, I'm knocking on wood here because I certainly do not want to get ahead of myself, and we'll see how things go with that dress. I'm a very cautious person.
Well, I'll tell you, you're off to a heck of a start.
Well, I'll just be happy if I'm able to do this again, because it's so much fun and it's so wonderful to see lots of people laughing very hard, and it gives me great pleasure. So, but in terms of the future, yes, I have some things I'm thinking about doing if I'm able to. As I said, I don't want to, you know, count any chickens at all and see how it goes. But I do have plans, if possible, to continue in very much the same vein here in Chicago.
Great. In the few minutes we have remaining, tell us a little bit about your background, because I remember seeing you in a play up at the old Actors Workshop that's now Red Twist Theater.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes,
the English, by the young English writer, Mr. Jennings.
Yes, that's a funny play, yes. No, that was good fun. That's a lovely theater, a lovely group. Michael Colucci runs the Red Twister. He's a lovely man, and
they loved your play. By the way, I talked to him on opening night. They were at Don't Dress for Dinner, and he thought it was terrific.
Yes, I saw Michael briefly. It was lovely to see him, and he was very kind to come. That's a wonderful theater, and I had great fun doing that. It was great fun, I love. There's so much theater in Chicago. It's incredible. You can throw your hat in the wind and you'll hit a theater.
Do you have plans on being an actor in any of your plays?
I don't know. I don't think so. You know, I don't know if that's a good idea. Possibly, but I highly doubt it. I think I'd like. I'm rather enjoying this side of things, and I think I may be more use. Doing all this sort of hard work, you know, you never know. Right? But it's not, certainly not a priority. I don't. That's not
good. That's good. So you didn't put this together just to be a showcase for yourself. That's
oh,
good.
Oh God, no.
But I think didn't you do Don't Dress for Dinner though? Didn't you do a production of it?
Oh yes, I did. That was very good fun.
Which character did you play?
I played Bernard.
Oh, okay, you played Bernard.
Bernard,
okay,
husband, yeah.
That was out at Metropolis in Arlington Heights, wasn't it?
That's right. It was. That was. That's another
I could
lovely
see you
theater.
Playing that role. I could see you doing that role.
Yeah. Well, I'll leave it to Mark Haralick. He does it splendidly, and I can't imagine. Topping him at all.
Well, I'll tell you, I have not seen a show in a long time where everybody in the show was really outstanding. You know, they all carried their weight, and it's amazing to see casting that good. I mean, it's not like it's a six people, and they just keep coming at you. So it's a lot of fun.
Yes, no, they're all, I mean, I just can't say enough about each and every one of them. They're all truly brilliant. And so nice. Everyone is so nice, and they're having such a lovely time together. It's just we've gone out for a couple of dinners, and they're all getting along. So it's just a nice. It's all good fun, you know. I mean, that's the wonderful thing about a play like this, is it's just terribly, terribly good fun for everyone involved.
Yeah, that is. And it's you're scheduled to run through January 11th, is that correct?
Yes, that's right, yes.
Okay, it's at the Royal George Theater, and folks, I highly recommend it. It's probably it definitely is the best comedy running in town today, and we sure need a good laugh. Well, Damien, keep up the good work, and keep your judgment going on picking a follow-up play or two to do after this, because we certainly need a top equity company dedicated to doing farces and doing comedy shows.
Oh, don't worry. There's plenty more where that came from.
Okay, great. Thank you very, very much. And folks, go see a play this week.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of December 1st, 2008. The Screwtape Letters, a hit drama based on the C.S. Lewis's classic 1942 novel, is now playing at the Mercury Theater, and on this Thursday, December 4th, the Mercury will host a celebration in honor of C.S. Lewis's 110th birthday. Following the performance, a panel of leading C.S. Lewis experts will discuss his influence as one of the most provocative theologians of all time. Then afterwards, audience members will be invited to enjoy cake and coffee provided by Cullen's Bar and Grill. The Screwtape Letters, which is set in an office in hell, has already played to sold-out performances in New York and in D.C. Recently, it made its Chicago premiere here in October, and it's already been extended into this January. Tickets are currently available for the Screwtape Letters. For more information, click on over to our website or click on over to Ticketmaster.com. His Honor is returning to the Chicago stage after a short hiatus following star Neil Giantoli's recent illness. But now Neil is coming back and feeling better than ever. His Honor ran for over 300 performances and next spring will run at both the Skokie Theater and the Theater Building, with tickets going on sale this Friday, December 5th. Many of the original stars are returning, along with some new faces in the cast. For more information, stay tuned to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. Writing in the true spirit of the season, Joe Stead gives us another article, this time giving us the top 10 reasons to be thankful for our many theatrical blessings here in the Windy City. Reasons such as new works, classics, the stars, and the community comprise this list of why Chicago is the best city for theater in the United States. For the 10 detailed reasons to be thankful this theatrical holiday season, click on over to Theater in Chicago's Theater News section to read Joe Stead's top 10 list. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. Remember, you can find us here every Monday with more news ready for you to enjoy. So, until next Monday, that is the theater news from Talk Theater in Chicago. And I'm your host, Dustin Moat. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Damien Arnold for giving us the honor of interviewing him this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And also, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we will be here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next Monday, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you, Chicago, to keep talking theater.